welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I thank the Lord that He's made a way for you to join us as we share the things of the Lord, the good things of the Lord, on the broadcast today. And I'd like to begin a message entitled, Ye Are the Temple of the Living God. And there's a lot of richness in this, if you will, a type and shadow of how God has chosen to deal with His people. Now, let's start at the very beginning. What's a temple? Well, by definition, it's a place or a building that's devoted to special purposes, especially religious. And one of the most beautiful passages that I've always loved, I've found has been especially beautiful, is Isaiah 57 and 15, where the Lord Himself is speaking, and He says, Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Praise God. God has always desired to fellowship with man. That's an amazing thought. That's really why He created man in the beginning, to have fellowship. In Mount Sinai, we see Moses went up to the God of Israel to receive the law and the commandments. And while he was up there, and this is found in Exodus 25 and 8, the Lord says, Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And this has always been one of God's chief delights and one of His purposes, to dwell with His creation. When He made all the world, the fullness thereof, He said, It is good. He rejoiced in the work of His hands. But the crowning epitome, if you will, of His creation was the day that He created man on the sixth day. And of course, He rested on the seventh day. But we see that that is God's purpose. And you know what? It hasn't changed through the millennia, I should say, plural, because many thousands of years have passed since Adam and Eve walked and talked with the Lord face to face. But He dwelt with Adam and Eve in the garden. He dwelt with Israel in the wilderness. He dwelt in the temple among His worshipers. And of course, we know the scriptures say the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in Jesus, and He was dwelling, God Himself, God omnipotent, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And now today, because Jesus ascended and is now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, He is still in this earth, but He is in this earth abiding in His people through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we go through this, you know, it was a joy to bring this all together, because we see God's express purposes to create a sanctuary, if you will, of beauty that human hands cannot create. He dwells in tabernacles not made with hands. And in the 8th and 9th chapter of Hebrews, we see the writer talking about the first covenant with Israel, and then the new covenant He established by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first covenant had ordinances of divine service and a physical, literal sanctuary. In Hebrews 9 and 11, this is now referring to Jesus, and I'm going to read the Living Bible translation. Jesus came as high priest of this better system, which we now have. He went into that greater, perfect tabernacle in heaven, not made by man nor part of this world, and once for all took blood into that inner room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But it was not the blood of goats and calves. No, He took His own blood, and with it He by Himself made sure of eternal salvation. Praise God. So what we want to consider now are the types and shadows of the temple of the living God. When we look at the present and past dispensations, we see that the temple has particular significance in Scripture. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, God walked with his people. In the temple, God's people dwelt with him. And as I was referencing about types and shadows, well, we see that in Scripture, the temple is a type of three different things: the body of Jesus, the church of Christ, as well as the individual believer. And so what we're going to be looking at, just as they created and built a physical temple for the Lord, we're going to look at the eight aspects that were involved in the building of the temple, and then the seven purposes of why a temple was created, and then the final and glorious aspect of actually possessing the temple and what that means. But let's now take a look at the temple in Scripture. In John, the second chapter, verse 21, it says that Jesus, what he was doing was he came and saw the temple, and he was angered at what he saw they were doing. So he drove out the money changers. And then immediately after that, the Jews asked him, and this is the Living Bible translation, "What right have you to order them out? If you have this authority from God, show us a miracle to prove it." "All right," Jesus replied, "this is the miracle I will do for you. Destroy this sanctuary, and in 3 days I will raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It took 46 years to build this sanctuary, and you can do it in 3 days?" But by this sanctuary, he meant his body. So the temple, therefore, is a type of the very body of Christ. Jesus, of course, had a physical body, and we are the physical body of, we are the spiritual body of Christ. Ephesians 2 and 21 says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So the temple is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, perhaps a very familiar scripture that you know, 1 Corinthians 3:16, where there's a reference to the temple being a type of the individual believer. "What, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Praise God. So what we're going to be looking at, beloved, is to show God's beautiful plan of redemption. And we're going to look at the temple of the Old Testament as a type of the individual believer in the body of Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." So what we want to do now is let's take some time to look at the building of the temple. Now, we saw that in that opening scripture in Exodus 25:8, what did the Lord say? "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." God always takes the first step. The thought originated with God. The very thought of building the temple, well, that was the Lord's idea. And of course, can we see that application in our own lives? Were you hungry and seeking after God? Well, some may have been, had a real hunger to learn about God. But in most cases, we love him because he first loved us. John 15:16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Verse 19 says, "But I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you." Ephesians 1 and 4 says, "Christ hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Of course, we love him because he first loved us. That was his plan, his desire. He reached out when you were ready, when you were able to respond, and you said yes to him, and you became his. So the temple Salvation was God's plan, and also we see the foundation was laid by God. Solomon built a temple at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to David. So both the place and the stone were his own choosing. He told David that he could not build the temple, but that his son Solomon would build the temple, and he gave specifications. So, beloved, we're helpless. We have no standing apart from redemption and the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So it was God's idea. The foundation was laid by God, the plans for it. God literally said, "This is where I want that literal Solomon's temple to be built." He gave him the exact location. And then thirdly, we see that the material was unfit to begin with. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 2 and 3, David assigned the aliens who were in the land of Israel to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. In other words, stone cutters were to prepare dressed or squared stones for the building of the temple. Modern language, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And beloved, that was not by our works, but by grace." Praise God. Well, my time is just flying, and so I must bring this broadcast to a stop, and we're going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me today. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. I look forward to hearing from you. Whatever prayer needs you have, just take a few moments. You don't have to write a lot, and I'll send back whatever God gives that will be a blessing to you. I love you. Thank you for joining me today, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.